and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show. Coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is the founder and messianic rabbi of Fusion Global Ministries, Rabbi Jason Sobel. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Mondo de la Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from Grace Street at Morningside, USA, here's your hosts, Pastors Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker. Yes. Welcome, everyone, to our program.
Hi there.
You know, a great, great preacher from the ghetto prophesied that...
Evie Hill.
But he prophesied when I'd just been announced, you know, that my life was coming apart or something. And he called me on the telephone and he said, Jim, you're coming back.
Amen.
Oh, my God.
Well, you did.
I didn't know I'd left yet. But he said, you're coming back and you're going to build David's army.
Yes. Amen.
And you know, they were the ragtag bunch who were hungry and starving and
broke
and all the ragtag.
And
he said, Jim, you just take all the people that nobody else wants. And he said, you let the perfect guys have the perfect people. And you're just going to be, you're having the David's army.
Amen.
So here we are, Mondo.
Here we are.
God found you in the ghetto.
Broke, right. Busted, and disgusted, and discouraged. But in the midst of that, I always say this. When you have a mess, God gives you a message,
Amen.
Turns your mess into a message.
Amen.
And here we are, becoming a message of restoration for this hour. And we're a reflection that if God can do it for us, then God can do it for you.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
You and Rabbi kind of...
Listen, we're going on tour.
Now, we haven't properly introduced Rabbi Jason Sobel yet first before you tell us about your worldwide tour.
So Rabbi Jason Sobel is the founder and messianic rabbi of Fusion Global Ministries. He's host of the program, The Chosen Unveiled. So Rabbi Jason is the best-selling author, along with Kathy Lee Gifford, of The Rock, The Road, and The Rabbi. His other books include Mysteries of the Messiah, Aligning with God's Appointed Times, and his new book we're going to introduce today, The God of the Way, A Journey into Stories, People, and Faith That Changed the World Forever.
Yeah. Woo!
Welcome back to our program, Rabbi Jason Sobel.
Shalom, shalom. Good to be back with you.
And we were talking about you and Mondo, and you guys kind of click. I don't know why, but you're both from L.A.
That's right.
And you did something in the green room that only the PTL club members will be able to see it because it's on. But it's video. We videotape back there. And you rapped.
A good rap.
I didn't know.
Yes, it
the
was
rabbi,
awesome.
The rabbi rapper.
That's right.
Like a rapper.
Right?
Maybe.
Run DMC.
I started out in the hip-hop business. That's where I actually started out.
You're kidding.
I got saved working in a hip-hop recording studio in New York City.
Oh, my land.
That's part of the journey.
That was, I did not that part either.
What do you think, Mondo? You think he can make it in the rapping business?
Listen, with them shoes he's got on and the hat, you're on your way to success, pal.
Oh, my land. Can we, before we get into anything deep, this is deep anyway, but Rabbi Jonathan Cahn just spent a week with us here, and his new book is out, and it's amazing. It's a world-shaking book, but is it true that you were saved under his ministry?
God used Rabbi Jonathan in my journey. And I had a friend who, his name is John, and he called me one day and said, Jason, could you tell the difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament? And he had been going to Rabbi Jonathan's congregation, and that's how he knew how to ask me that question.
Yeah.
And I said, sure. He said, he read me this passage about the crucifixion. He said, old or new? I said, that's Jesus. He said, let me read you another passage. Bruised for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, by his stripes were healed. I said, that's the New Testament. He said, no, that's Isaiah 53.
Yeah.
The Jewish prophet. And I was so provoked to jealousy, I finally agreed with him to go to Rabbi Jonathan's Messianic congregation. Wow. It was at the end of the service, they dimmed the lights and prayed and played the piano, and they prayed this prayer, and I figured I needed all the help I can get, so I prayed, and that's why I received the Lord, not knowing what I had done. Kind of Rabbi Jonathan tricked me in the faith, but it stuck.
Yes. And didn't you get a New Testament? I think I read a little bit about
that's
this
right.
in
that's
here
right.
in
right.
your newest book. And yeah. didn't you get a little New Testament, and your mother found it, right?
Yeah, it's an incredible. So
it's an incredible story.
Right. God has a good sense of humor, right?
He does.
They brought me to meet with one of their counselors. They gave me the first New Testament I'd ever seen. I took it home, you know, hid it in my bedroom. God forbid my parents should find it. Read it for the first time, was blown away how Jewish it was, the messianic prophecies. And then I had an encounter with Jesus in heaven as part of this journey, which made me open to Jesus. And he said something to me there. And what he said to me was a verse from the New Testament, which I had never read before. And when I read that, I was like, okay, he's the one Moses and the prophet spoke of, gave my life to him. But then my mom found that New Testament that I had hid in my bedroom.
Because you were born and raised, of course, Jewish. And so this was like, you don't do that, right?
No. She's like, what is this that I found in your room? Don't tell me, going to those Jews who believe in Jesus. I knew you'd do something like this one day and break my heart. You've joined a cult. Go meet with the rabbi.
Oh. Wow. And the rest is history.
The rest is history.
You can read about that in his new book, The God of
Go
the
ahead.
Way.
Let's introduce his new book.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Because it's out. We're introducing his brand new book,
yes.
God of the Way.
A journey into the stories, people, and faith that change the world forever. And you, Kathy Lee Gifford, who we all know and love, and Rabbi Jason Sobel wrote this together, and it's really brilliant. It's brilliant. It's excellent. And my person, look at mine. It's all marked up. It's all tagged up. It's all highlighted up. It ministers to you. It disciples you. It encourages you. You break it down in such a beautiful way, Rabbi. You explain all these different amazing people of the Bible that we all love and who they are and their background and what the actual words in Hebrew mean. And it's so amazing. I just love it so much. What about you, honey?
They get a bonus DVD with the book today, don't they?
Yes, that's right. We're also including two teachings by Rabbi Sobel. One is the aligning with God's appointed times. And then also we are going to be doing the Shabbat here led by Rabbi Jason Sobel. You're going to also include that. We're including that in the DVD, a 1-hour teaching from the Jim Baker Show. So you receive both messages, video messages, along with the book. And that's for a donation of $35 to the ministry. That includes the shipping and handling as well.
So be sure to get the brand new book. And Kathy Lee Gifford, and you wrote a book just recently before this one.
The Rock, the Road, and the Rabbi.
And how did you get with Kathy Lee Gifford?
It's, you know, it's so funny because I grew up, when I was going little kid, my mom would watch Regis and Kathy Lee in the morning. He'd be on in the kitchen as I was eating breakfast, getting ready for school. So it was kind of surreal when I get a phone call from her one day. Remember where I was at. I was at my son's baseball game, and she basically said to me, we had a mutual friend, and basically, Kathy had gone to Israel, had her life completely changed when she began to see the Bible from a Hebraic perspective. She went on this rabbinical study tour, and she wanted people to kind of learn and experience the Bible from that perspective because it just helped you to see it in high definition. And she said, you know, she started to write this book, and she said she realized she had a pamphlet, not a book. So she said, who can I call to help? And so she called me and she said, let's connect. Went to New York, went to the Today Show on set. We had lunch afterwards, sat down and talked about, it was at Christmas time, talked about, you know, the Jewish roots of Christmas. Yeah. And she's like, okay, let's write this book together. Wow. Went to Israel with her several times, wrote the book, and excited to do our follow-up.
Wow. Yes, it's excellent. I loved your first book. And now I love this book so much. The God of the Way, and you will too. And you can get one, like Marcella just said, one with this bonus DVD, one for $35. That includes shipping and handling. So, you know, the phones are going to light up. So I get on the phone right away and order this.
We're offering the new book today along with a DVD with the two teachings. And I have a video clip from the trailer. Let's watch this, then we can talk about it.
I believe that the biblical holidays are important for all believers because, as I've already shared on the show, every major event in the life of Jesus happened on a biblical Jewish holiday. The biblical holidays are meant to be a tent in time that we enter into, like Moses entered into the tent of meeting and encountered the presence and the power of God. So the biblical holidays are a tent in time. They are a meeting place where God wants to encounter us and where God wants to speak with us and to have a special connection to us. That's why many prophetic leaders set aside the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, or Yom Kippur to hear God's voice and encounter him. And many have encounters at those times. It's because God has woven them into the very fabric of creation. At the crucifixion over Jesus' head, what did the sign say? King of the Jews. And he's king of the world, for that matter, right? God gave, he resurrected. God gave him the name that is above every name. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess he is the king. And this is important because I feel like in our culture, we want Jesus as our friend, which is good. And we want God as our father, but we also have to remember he is the king of kings and he is the Lord of lords. You know, a rabbi was once asked by his disciples, what's the worst sin? He said, to forget that you're a child of the king. He said, what's the second worst sin? To know that you're a child of the king and not to live like one. Friends, we need to live like children of the king. The shofar is meant to wake us up and remind us of our true identity in him, because identity is destiny. We have to know God as Abba. That's why the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. First, in its announcement of God as Father, then its announcement as God as King. Because it's a scary thing to approach the King, especially the King of Kings, if you're a subject. But if you're a son or a daughter, it's joyous to come before the King if he's your Abba, if he's your Father.
Why is it important for believers to know about and celebrate God's appointed times?
Yeah, I think it's very significant. As we said, we saw in the clip, every major event in the life of Jesus happens on a Jewish holiday. You can't fully understand the Gospels, the teachings of Jesus, without understanding the New Testament. I mean, John 7, he's celebrating Feast of Tabernacles. John 10, he's celebrating Hanukkah. I mean, the Last Supper was a Passover Seder. I mean, he's crucified as the Passover Lamb. Like, we can't understand the deeper picture of what's going on here. We can't connect the dots without these things. But then I think there's something more. And I think that something more is that one of the words for the Hebrew holidays is Chagim, which literally can mean circle. And the idea is that behind this word being a circle is that the holidays are not mere remembrances. They're meant to be reoccurrences. What God did at these days and times and ages long ago, he wants to do in our life today. There is meant to be a reactivation by understanding these holidays. God reactivates those things in our lives.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
In your book, you mentioned a 90-minute film called The Way, I believe it is. What's that about?
Yeah, so we have this book called The God of the Way, but it's actually connected to the inspiration behind the book was a movie that Kathy Lee put together. Many people might be familiar with one of the oratorios that she did called The God Who Sees with Nicole C. Mullins. Got millions of views. Well, part of her passion was to take the stories of Scripture, put them to song, include video, make it cinematic, And so people can engage scripture with creativity and music and the arts, and it can come alive in new ways for people. And then what we want to do is we want to take those same biblical stories and biblical men and women of faith, and we want to help go deeper in the book, The God of the Way.
And you do. And you go deep. You really do with all these great people of the Bible that we all know and love dearly.
You write about how being Jewish is so important in your household. Why is that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that God made these promises to the Jewish people, and these things like the holidays, like the Shabbat that we're going to be talking about, like so many of the customs and traditions that I grew up with, these were the very things that the disciples did. These were the very things that Jesus, Yeshua being his Hebrew name, grew up with. And so when we understand the history and the customs and traditions, it helps the Bible come alive because it allows us to see it as Jesus and the disciples see it. Because so many times we look at it through our Western lens and we miss things or sometimes even misinterpret things because we don't understand them in its historical, cultural, Jewish context.
That is so true. That's exactly right. And I think Kathy Lee talks about that at the very end of the book. She was saying the reason she just was so, she wanted to know her somewhere in the middle, but it's so excellent. But because she said, I've heard you say this many times, Jim, you know, there are sometimes poor translations. So to understand the Hebrew and to understand the Greek, to go really back and to understand the Jewish traditions is so vitally important. And I think more so now than ever before, because we need this more now than we ever have before in these last days we're living in.
You talked about how important the holy days are and everything that Jesus celebrated in that from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Is this not important to find the days of the coming of the Lord and to know the revelation days?
Yeah, absolutely, because I think there's this biblical picture of this idea of that, or biblical principle, that the end is going to be like the beginning. And so the biblical holidays are prophetic in nature, right? So at the first coming, Jesus fulfills the spring holidays. He dies as the Passover lamb. He rises from the dead on first fruits. And we talk about this in The God of the Way, how the resurrection connected to first fruits is connected to hope. Okay, and then he pours out the Spirit on Pentecost, Shavuot. And then there's the summer period, and there's no holidays in the summer period. And that's the time between the first and second coming, is like the summer where there's no holidays. And when he returns, he will fulfill the three fall holidays. And we've actually begun to see the prophetic fulfillment of the first of those three fall holidays, which is the Feast of Trumpets, which one of the key words is regathering. God has been regathering the Jewish people to the land of Israel in preparation for a great revival that will usher in the return of the Lord.
Do you believe Jesus Christ is coming back and perhaps soon?
Listen, I believe as we look at the signs of the time, clearly the day of the Lord is drawing near. I think I think there's a few things we watch for to gauge the timing of that. They're the signs of the times. I think, you know, Israel is God's prophetic timepiece. So look at what's going on in the land, and that will give you a good idea where we are on that prophetic countdown clock, okay? But I think there's another thing, too, which is, I think, you know, when I was growing up, we used to have cassette tapes.
Yes. Right? We remember cassette tapes.
and I would never remember when you rewound a cassette tape, the closer it got to the end, the faster it would speed up.
True. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's like history. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, there is an acceleration.
Yeah.
And we see an acceleration in knowledge. We see an acceleration in technology. We see an acceleration in young people having to grow up faster. We see acceleration in immorality and all these in wickedness and chaos spreading around the world. And so clearly these are all signs that the day of the Lord is approaching.
Mm. So the Old Testament is as important today as any time in history. And it's not just New Testament. In fact, I believe it's the whole Bible, which is the Old and New Testament.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people don't think about this, right? But one of the most important verses in Scripture, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed.
Yes.
Well, when Paul wrote that, there was no New Testament. All Scripture is God-breathed, profitable for, okay? He's talking about the Hebrew Scriptures. And that's why in the God of the Way, we begin in the beginning. You know, we begin with Abraham and Sarah, and we get into creation because everything that was written in ancient times was really written for us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you found the New Testament in your life, and Rabbi gave you that little, was it a red one?
It was a Jerusalem New Covenant Prophecy Edition.
Oh my goodness, that is great. Okay, this
from the Jerusalem Bible Society.
I got a New Testament in school. Can you believe that?
Wow.
When I was in, I don't know what grade it was, but it was earlier in my schooling. Remember when they gave out Bibles in our school?
Well,
Did anybody get a Gideon Testament in the Bible? And now it's against the law to do that.
That's right.
But were you shocked at all? I mean, what was it like revelation coming to you when you started studying?
Yeah, it's like the blinders came off, the veil was open.
It was supernatural
then. Supernatural, and you know, that's what we try and do for people in the God of the Way. We want them to have these aha moments because I think as you see the old and the new connect, it causes your heart to burn within
it
you.
Does.
Like, for example, we
it
talk
does.
About Moses in the book, right?
So good.
And God appears to Moses in the midst of a burning bush. But in Hebrew, it says more than a bush. It says thorn bush. And why is that significant? Because thorns in the Bible are symbolic of pain and suffering. They're symbolic of exile. The Lord is saying to Moses, I've been with my people even in the midst of the slavery, but of course there's more. Because when Jesus was on the cross, he had a crown of thorns on his head. Why? Because the curse of creation was the ground that produced thorns and thistles. He's literally taking the curse on his head to reverse the curse and to restore the blessing. And he's saying, just like God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, God is appearing to us in the person of Jesus on the cross. And he's saying, I will be with you everything you go through, no matter how much pain, no matter how much suffering. I was willing to go through it as well. And I don't ask you to go through anything that I myself wasn't willing to go through.
Thank you. Thank you.
This book is going to open your eyes. And it is so important. And in your book, you say that the biblical characters, we were just talking about Moses, I believe it was, and David and Moses and Ruth and Abraham, you talked about, they came to life for you. How do these people affect you, you know, so deeply as you study them?
You know, I think the more you dig into the lives of the great men and women of faith, it's that Hebrews 11 kind of concept. They are the great cloud of testimony, and they are calling us to run the race. Like, kind of in hip-hop, you got to have your hype man, right?
I don't even know what that means.
They're the ones that cheer you on.
All right, here we go.
You know, they cheer you on, get you excited, right? And this is the lives of these great men and women of faith are our hype men and women. Their lives are cheering us on to rise up, to do the greater things than these. And as we look at their lives, they're ordinary individuals who struggled with all sorts of things. They had failures, they had faults, they had fears, and yet God used them greatly. And it says, you know what? I can be one of those people. Right. I could be, you know, in heaven, maybe I'll be included, you know, maybe you'll be included for sure, right? In the continuation of the Hebrews chapter of faith in heaven,
I hope
right?
so.
You're one of the champions of the faith, right?
That's why I'm, yes, he is. Say thank you, honey.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you very much. I'm so thrilled.
You do break it down, though. I mean, you make this so, I will tell you one thing, as I was reading the book, I'm highlighting, I'm going through it, and I just wanted more. It just made my heart yearn to know more of of him, to know more of the Lord, to have a zeal. You talk about zeal, and I know we're going to get into all of that,
yeah.
But to have that is so, you got to, it's so precious to be able to have that zeal to go after him
but
all the time.
To look at the people of faith in the Bible.
Yeah.
Gives us that energy to go on.
Yeah. It does.
Isn't it?
It.
Absolutely.
Hope. You were, when you were in, you came to the, your entourage, I don't know. That,
Ted Squires. Hey, Ted.
Ted Squires. Man has been
you.
With
you
me.
Had a wonderful
for,
team with Ted Squires.
Ted must be almost 100 years old because he's been with
Ted's
me.
Ted's been with us.
I think
know.
He's been with me 100 years because.
It looks good.
But we were talking, and he brought with him a guest. Well, I don't know if he wants me to introduce him or not, Basalo, I won't, but a famous singer from my past. You know who I'm talking about?
Frank.
Yeah. And he was with one of the big groups in the past, and he now has, they've renamed their group. It's the all but one, I think, you're still in the group. And so we're trying to get him to come on the show, and he's agreed to do that. So in a few months, we're going to probably have him on the show. But seeing him, you know, from the past reminds me of the exciting moments when Donna, you remember we sang, we'd have maybe five or six different singing groups on, and then they'd all come together and sing together and never miss a beat. I mean, they could sing each other's songs, and we would shout and sing and praise God. And that was one of the glorious times of my life. So as I was sitting in that green room today, I was thinking, oh, I want more of that. I want to have that kind of music again. So, but what is sojourning in the faith? That's a term you use.
What is sojourning faith?
Sojourning faith. That's
yes,
what I'm talking
sojourn.
About.
Yes, because Rabbi Thompson. Because I already read the book.
Of course you did.
You know, it's excellent. The sojourning faith.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the, like, we talk about Abraham, and Abraham has this sojourning, pioneering faith, right? And, you know, I think one of the questions we have to ask ourselves is, when will my faith rise to the level of the great women of faith, like Abraham and Sarah, for example? And Abraham is the father of faith, and he has this pioneering, sojourning faith. And, you know, part of why it's what he's trying to teach us through his life, what God wants to teach us, is that Abraham has sojourning faith, a pioneering faith, because he's willing to move forward without all the details.
Right.
Right? God says, go, leave your family, leave your homeland, and go to a place that I'll show you. He didn't tell him where he was going, right? He didn't tell him the ultimate destination. Abraham just had to go forward. And the way God operates in our life is he doesn't give us all the details when he calls us, right? He gives us, over time, progressively, pieces of the puzzle. And like Abraham, we have to be willing to take a risk and step out in faith. And we have to move forward without all the details. But Abraham had a faith that also was a faith that always looked up, right? And so it's interesting because Abraham's first test begins with the Hebrew words, lech lecha, therefore go, right? Go leave your homeland. His last test begins with those same words, lech lecha. Go offer Isaac, your son, whom you love, on the mountain. The first test was, Abraham, will you give me your past? Will you trust me with your past? Isaac represented the promise of the future. God is saying, will you give me your future? And then it says, Abraham went on this three-day journey, and he looked up, and he saw the place from a distance. See, too often times, we're looking back to our past. And too many times we're looking around to see what's going on around us and what are you doing with this person. And really, if you look back, if you're primarily looking back or you're looking around, you're going to miss what the Lord is going to do. We need to look up.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Abraham lifted his eyes.
Amen. Laurie, you and mine are both of you, and Nana, you were just a little girl, but we left our home in Florida,
mm-hmm.
where we're at Camp Hope, which was at time Camp Hopeless, you know, but we were building Camp Hope, and we built, we painted, and we redid, didn't we, Mondo?
Oh, every day.
And we had miracle after
yes.
miracle. We had victories, but we had difficult times at Camp Hope, and we left not knowing where we were going.
That's
and
right.
I'm serious. We had tried to figure out where to go because they were selling Camp Hope to build a housing project. It was on a lake. There was a nice little place. We were renting it for $1 a year. Can you believe that? Wasn't that a good deal?
Yeah,
a good deal. And so... We
adopted a bunch of kids. So we had all these kids.
All of our
kids. Monticello was just a little
And
girl.
Mondo was with us.
Yes.
And Grandma Shar was living with us.
Yes.
And we all got in trunks and cars and whatever. and we set off for the promised land here in Branson, Missouri. We didn't know anything much about it.
No.
Mr. Crawford, who was kind of helping us build things to get it going, He had bought a building and said, "Here, you move into this." And it was like we didn't know where we were going, and we wanted to know, we wanted to understand, and yet I don't know how we did that, Lori, because I'm stubborn, but because I don't like to do things that God doesn't
it's
tell
out
me
of
to do.
Obedience, actually.
You know what I mean? I want to know sure it's God,
mm-hmm.
And yet here we are, and. Then I find out that Corrie Ten Boom had flown over this place after we moved here, years after we learned that she'd flown over the place, looked down and says, "God's going to send a great move of God from right down there." God knows the way through
That's
the wilderness.
Right. Yes,
he does.
All I have to do is follow. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. And some of you are like that right now. You've got to trust God.
Amen.
Keep going on with this. And Sarah and how she laughed at God's promise to her. To even laugh at God's promise.
Can you imagine being almost 90 years old and God comes to you and says, "You're going to have a baby"?
No,
that
is.
That would be funny,
right,
wouldn't it?
Right?
Would you laugh, Lori?
I would probably laugh, yeah. No, and I love how you broke it down. Right. Break it down a little bit for us.
Right, and so there's really, when God comes to you and he makes these what's seemingly outrageous promises for your life, right?
Oh, yeah.
You have two options. You can laugh with God's promise,
mm-hmm.
or you can laugh at God's promise.
Yeah.
And you never want to laugh at God's promise.
No.
To laugh at God's promise is kind of like derision, derisive, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't really believe that. It's kind of an unbelief type of laugh, right? But when you laugh with God's promise, right, and Sarah ultimately embodies in part this great joy in her life, and there's this idea that joy breaks every yoke. And, you know, we need to be able to laugh with the promises of God. And, you know, I'll never forget when I went through a really difficult time in my life, and I thought I went out to California to pursue my dream job and, you know, wound up losing my dream job and having people in ministry really close kind of throw me in the pit, in the prisons, right? And God spoke to me in the midst, and he said, "Jason, you're going to speak before stadiums of people one day, and I'm going to use you to reach many people." And after I lost my job, had no ministry, I told some of my family and friends this. They laughed at me. They said, "Don't tell that to anyone. Keep it to yourself." Right.
Right.
And that's so
right.
I know what it's like to have someone laugh at God's promise for your life, thinking, you know, that's just a fantasy. But God is faithful.
Yes, he is. Absolutely.
Well, I like that. I need to hear more.
Yeah, that's why everyone has to get the book. You want to know more. You want to it's on top of it. It's just pure enjoyable to read because it stirs you up so much.
Yeah.
And I even liked how you even went deeper in here. You can see and I was thinking about you none last night, like, you know, because I see how she's the COO of the ministry, so she carries a lot on her. And last night she was so on my heart, and I was so praying for my daughter and going, "God, well, maybe I need to step in. Maybe I need, because I don't want her joy to be stolen when we got a lot of, you know, keeping financially the ministry going, keeping things going." And so, but then I'm like, and then I'm like, weariness is no laughing matter. It's a real thing, weariness. But you share with us how to walk through it.
I've been through a lot of weariness in my life, and this year's been a major battle for me. And I can't believe you're the happy rabbi. You really laugh.
But you said in your book you've gone through a lot of up and downs.
Yeah.
How do we overcome it, though, Rabbi? That is what I want you to tell me. How do I overcome the weariness of being beat up, being laughed at? I was the laughing stock of the half the nation or more than that, and when they came for me. And it is an unbelievable situation what I went through. I mean, went to prison for 5 years. So, but I'm back, and I know a lot of people say, why didn't you just go away, Jim? You know, it'd be easier if you just go away. But God doesn't have us go away. He brings us through those valleys and all. And I can't believe you've had that kind of weariness in your life. You seem such a happy man.
Absolutely. I think that there's a couple of things. I think, one, there's the promise that those who wait will never be left wanting. If you're willing to wait, you won't be left wanting. Mm. And as it says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will mount up on wings like eagles. So there is a learning that sometimes between the promise and the promised land, there's mm-hmm. going to be pits and prisons. There's going to be problems, right?
Sure.
But the problems are proportional to the promise that we have on our life. The greater the promise, the greater the problems, the greater the pits. The longer you're going to have to wait to see those things come to pass. Wow. But as you wait, you worship the Lord.
Yeah.
And you worship Him, and you. It's like Israel at the Red Sea. You have to praise your way through when you come to the seas, the obstacles.
That's right.
But I think there's another thing, which is I think that we need to learn to laugh at ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, we don't take ourselves so seriously,
That's right.
And I think we need to laugh at the enemy and the challenges that come into our life. And I think laughter is one of the secret weapons. If we can laugh at the attacks of the enemy, and not that we laugh because it's pleasant, we laugh because it's absurd.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's right on.
And that God is so much bigger than what it is. Sarah laughed.
Can we
laugh when God comes to us? And do we really believe all things are possible with God?
Mm-hmm. Man. Wow.
You're gonna love
the joy of the Lord is our strength.
I'm telling you, we've just started. We've just tapped into you.
If we ever needed to laugh, we need to laugh now.
Yes.
Because there's not a whole lot to laugh about in America, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we have to have that joy.
It's actually healing to our bodies. As Dr. Tolbert has taught us through the years, you have to. It's good to have a good.
Yeah, we have a
belly,
our
belly
doctor.
Belly laughs a day.
But our doctor subscribes. Laughter to us.
Listen, the one who laughs, lasts.
Wow.
If you laugh, you will last.
Wow.
That's good.
Oh, God help
That's
me.
That's why Dr. tells us all the time, honey. Jim, Lori, are you laughing?
And sometimes you just have to be silly.
And
I think especially when you feel the weariness and the attacks and the tiredness, you just need to be silly.
Oh, yeah, Mondo's good at that. He can make me laugh. And Tammy Sue can make me laugh. And then it could make me laugh. All three of these up here
could
all make
me
laugh.
But you know what's so funny about all this? And I'm looking at Nina because when we went through the 2020 onslaught of the media and attorney generals and the suing of the ministry, and the perfect storm happened, your stroke happened, mom's heart, I mean, everything. And Nana and I would just look at each other. We started laughing. He said, can you believe this is happening? We would just start laughing and realizing God chose Tammy Sue, myself, Nana, Lori. No one ever expected for these kids to step up to the plate.
Amen.
But we just started laughing. But at the same time, believing in the faith that God had given the two of you to move this ministry forward to where we are right now. You start laughing because you realize God is so funny to choose what people don't realize works. And I want to tell you something. If there was ever a time to have hope, is to look at yourself in the mirror and realize if people knew what it took for you to get up that morning, they would be surprised. If they knew what you went through last night, and you woke up and you showed up on time to work, they will realize that they're staring at a miracle.
Yeah.
Oh, don't get me going. This book.
Okay.
Woo. I want you to order the book right now.
Yes.
And Rabbi, I want to ask you what you mean in your book when you said, we're called to carry the kingdom. That seems pretty heavy.
Yeah. I mean, we are called to be carriers of the kingdom. We're called to be image bearers, and we're called to represent the Lord and bring His joy and His beauty to the world. And, you know, I think that that is, it's a, an amazing task. It's an awesome task. It's an honor and a privilege, but it's meant to be a joy and a blessing, right? I think that so many times people look at believers and it's not that they, you know, one of the things we talk about Sarah is that she's beautiful.
Right.
And that God doesn't do ugly.
Right.
Right. God doesn't do ugly.
Right.
Right. Right. He makes everything beauty and it's beautiful in its time. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, beauty was a secret weapon to Sarah.
Yeah.
It was a secret weapon to Esther. Mm-hmm. And God's not coming back for an ugly bride.
Right.
He's coming back for a beautiful bride.
Yes.
And so many times it's not that people reject Jesus. Mm-hmm. They reject the church because believers get ugly and do ugly things to one another and those around us. And then we're like, well, why don't they want Jesus? No, they don't want Jesus because we're not radiating the beauty of him and of his heart and of his love and of his joy to the world. So carrying the kingdom is carrying Jesus and living out the heart of Jesus in a way that people look and see the beauty of God in us with the Holy Spirit living in us.
Amen. Amen.
This book, it says God of the way. That means of the journey, right? The God of the way, the God
That's
of
right.
the journey. And that is what the people in this audience, the people watching on television, they need more now than anything is how do we stay in the way? I mean, God's way. How do we keep walking? How do we not give up? And why are the two qualities of long-suffering and patience that you talk about in your book so important for us?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think we talk about in the chapter of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and actually Mary's Hebrew name was Miriam. And the word for patience in Hebrew is savlanut. It means long-suffering. It means to bear a burden or to carry something that's heavy. So a porter, someone who carries packages in Israel is from the word long-suffering or patience. So think about how much patience and long-suffering Mary had, right? I mean, she was a virgin, right? Imagine this, and she gets pregnant. Imagine the shame as she's carrying this baby and waiting for it to be born. And then she's gets this prophecy that he's going to be the promised Messiah. And, you know, it's 30 years and he hasn't begun his ministry. And she's probably thinking about, well, when are these words going to come true, right? Where, you know, and probably the longest that she had, the longest suffering that she'd do was the, you know, the time Jesus was on the cross.
Yeah.
And she's standing there looking at him being mocked and wondering, where did all these promises, where did, you know, in the 3 days. So Mary embodied this long suffering. And for all of us, we're going to have to wait on the promises of God. We're going to have to wait to see the purposes of God fulfilled in our life. But God is so faithful. And I want to share with you an incredible story, right? So I'm married to a beautiful woman by the name of Miriam, same name as Mother of Jesus, was a well-known worship leader from Australia. And we didn't get married till later in life. She was in her 40s, and she was one day praying to the Lord, like kind of like, God, you made this promise. Should I just give up on marriage? You know, should I just, you know, just focus and not even think about it? And she was really wrestling and kind of crying and just kind of, God, what are you going to do? All my friends are getting married. I just want whatever you want, but just tell me what you want. And God came to her and he spoke one word into her soul. He said, long suffering. Then we meet, we get married, and she tells me this story. And I say, do you know what my last name means in Hebrew? It means long suffering.
Wow. Wow.
That's so good. I mean, God is so faithful and precise in the way that he fulfills his word. And she was all those years waiting for the one, praying for the one. And then she gets the one whose last name literally means long suffering.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Wow.
Oh, my. We're going to be out of time pretty soon because tomorrow we're going to have you back. And we're going to do a special
Shabbat
supper that you're going to deliver us to or serve for us here in the audience. And so you all stay for that. But and you at home can get ready for tomorrow's broadcast. But there was one more question I really want to get in here because I love order. Will you explain the blessing of order? Do you remember that one?
Yeah, of course. It's so significant because we live in a world where there's increasingly disorder.
That's right.
And chaos.
Yes.
And as we look at the very beginning of the creation account, it says the world was empty and chaos, right? Formless and void, or emptiness and chaos could be another way to translate that in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. Tohu vavohu. And the first thing God had to do was literally bring order out of chaos, because nothing can exist in a state of chaos. I don't know if, I'm sure you all remember when I was young, I used to love watching Get Smart.
Oh, yeah.
I remember Get Smart. And the bad guys in Get Smart, where they were, their evil organization was called Chaos, right? And they were trying to take over the world. Well,
that's right.
The enemy wants to bring chaos.
That's right.
And he wants to sow chaos in our lives, and he wants to sow chaos in our world. But God wants to bring order. And there's this idea that order is about alignment, right? Order leads to alignment, and alignment leads to blessing. And there's this relational alignment. When we come into alignment with who God is, we come in alignment with God's will and the people in our lives. God brings this order out of chaos that leads to alignment and the overflow of blessing in our lives. But what's interesting is we I love numbers. I think numbers are important. And we get into some key numbers in the book and the significance, because Hebrew is alphanumeric. Letters are written with numbers. The numerical value of the phrase formless and void, or chaos and empty, equals 430, which is significant because 430 is the numerical value of the prophecy. You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too small to be among the clans of Judah, one will go forth from you to be a ruler in Israel, whose days are from of old, from the days of eternity. From old, from the days of eternity, equals 430. So Jesus, 430, from the days of old, from eternity, is key to overcoming the chaos.
Wow.
Think about it for a moment. When Jesus was on the cross, there was 3 hours of darkness. Why were there 3 hours of darkness? And we talk about it in the book. Because the first thing we read in Genesis 1 is that there was darkness and chaos in the world. Jesus had to go back to the place of chaos, of formlessness and void, to that place of darkness in the very beginning, to overcome the darkness of chaos by the cross, so that we don't have to experience it. He descended to the level of chaos and void, formlessness and void, to overcome it, to bring, restore the order and blessing in our life, because only the one who is from the days of eternity can go back and reverse that chaos that began in the beginning with the fall.
Yes, and you say in the book, you say right here on page 91, chaos kills life and blessing, and it sure does. Think about it. You reflect. What I found myself doing throughout this book is reflecting back even on my own personal life and what God takes you through. And you all of a sudden look back, and it kind of amazes you, you know. But it's so true when you look back in your life. You think about the chaos times in your life and how it really does. It kills life and blessing.
It's like the TV show Hoarders.
Yes.
We talk about it in the book, right?
Yes.
People have so much stuff in their home that it creates chaos, that it literally crowds out everything, right? There's no room for relationship. There's no room to live in that space. And so many times we have emotional baggage, emotional chaos in our lives. And God wants us to be able to, God, if we give it to him, he'll remove those things that are stopping us from having the depth of connection and relationship with him and others. He wants us to get our house and our life in order so that we can experience his blessing.
I want you to order the book today. God of the Way.
Yeah.
And you get the video along with it. How many lessons are there in there?
Yes, there's 2 lessons included
in the video?
On the video, yes.
Good. And this is Kathy Lee Gifford and Rabbi Jason Sobel together wrote the book, The God of the Way. And this is a journey into the stories, people, and faith that changed the world forever. This is hope for you. This is really instructional, isn't it, Lori?
Very instructional.
For us today.
Yes, and what I would do is I would go with the friends and family offer, I call it, at least get the three, where you can get the three books and the three DVD teachings, right?
Yes.
Okay, for a gift to the ministry of $100, that includes shipping and handling, and bless somebody with this. They're going to love it. It's going to refresh them. It's going to teach them that, you know, from your little kids to the old people to everyone in your life.
Amen. So order right now. Just call toll-free 1-888-988-1588 and order the God of the Way bundle.
Yeah.
And you get the book and you get
a DVD.
Two videos on it. I mean, video, and
yes,
you get
right.
two
that's
lessons
yes.
on that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for a gift of how much for the two of them?
Yes, for the one bundle, which is a gift of $35 to the ministry. They receive one book plus the two DVD teachings on the DVD included. That's shipping and handling as well. And if I may, just really quickly, Dad, I love right here, step into the stories of faith and freedom. And I love how you positioned this. You said this is an experience. I know for me, as I read this, I truly felt like I was walking in and experiencing those characters that we have read come to life. It says here, you'll experience the God of the way and when you don't know the details, God does. The God of his word, when you can't see God, trust his heart and the promises in his word. The God who sees when you feel abandoned and forgotten, God knows and cares about you. And the God of the other side, when you feel overwhelmed and unworthy, God never passes by, but crosses over and brings freedom. I believe that every single one of us, as I even just reading that, I believe that there's some of us and many who are watching right now, you can relate to these moments of feeling forgotten, abandoned, overwhelmed, chaos is all around. This will be a book that will minister. I know I found myself laughing. I found myself experiencing. I found myself just feeling worthy and reminded that I am a child of God. I found myself in tears at moments. And so this will be a book that will just truly minister to you during this time. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. You can receive the book plus the DVD teaching for a $35 love gift to the ministry.
For many, many years now, probably 20, 30 years, I've been preparing food.
Yes.
Survival food. We started when there was no survival food.
Mm-hmm.
We came out of a crisis in America.
Right.
And so we began to develop food. And I mean, in the beginning, all there was little chunks of like sawdust. And that was
bars. Yeah.
That was like, that was survival food.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. right.
Well, now we have pancakes. We have wonderful food. I want you to see that in this one bucket, this 60 meal bucket, it lasts 30 years. You could put this in a cabin and you could leave your cabin and not go back for 20, 30 years. And you have food that you can just open up, add water, and you have food to live, to survive. Our guest that was on the show, he is from Australia. Most shocking ministry I've ever heard. Most shocking. I hope people order his product because you really need to wake up. But he was talking about they plan to run out of food this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already talking about not having dairy products this year at all.
Yeah.
That they're slaughtering all the cattle.
Yeah. Again, when you look at what happens with the cattle industry, it doesn't just affect the beef, it affects every product that you have in your refrigerator.
Did you see the headline on the screen? It said the
Oklahoma ranchers
predicts beef to rise to $50 per pound.
Yeah,
you're not going to be able to have steak much longer unless you're rich, you know, and the rich will get richer and the poor get poorer. But the Bible talks about famine. We were talking about the four horses of the apocalypse, and one of them definitely is famine. And these are the end times. And so this food, I really want you to have it. We're only able to get 1,000 buckets a month. That's a miracle, because we weren't getting any. It takes time and energy to produce these buckets. They're not like just normal food, because they're going to last for 30 years. And every month they promised another 1,000. So if you can't get in on this order, if they call and say, well, though, I'm sorry, it's gone, go ahead and say, I want to order anyway. I want to order from the next batch. And get your name in line, and let's see what happens. And I'm going to try to convince the manufacturers to put our people in front of the line a little bit, because there's only about 2 manufacturers left of survival food. They've all closed down because there was no people just don't think about getting ready. But we need to have food, and this is so urgent to me that I just had to talk about it today. So for a gift of $215, you get a 60 meal bucket with that includes shipping and handling.
Yes, that's right. This is the Prepared Pantry 60 meal buckets. There's 13 varieties of food included in this offer for a donation of $215. That includes shipping and handling. Buckets exactly like this, you can find right now up to $250. So we're doing
The retail on this bucket now is about $250.
Yes, and we're doing everything that we can to try to keep the costs where they are. It's getting more and more difficult, but we're going to do the very best that we can to provide this food for you up to 30-year shelf life. And I'm reminded this is a Joseph moment. God is giving wisdom. He's giving discernment. He's showing us the times that we're living in. The news and the revelation and the headlines are warning us to be prepared. Now is the time to be prepared. We are excited to say we have these available right now. You can call our toll-free number, 1-888-988-1588. Remember, you can also visit the website, jimbakershow.com, to place your order.
Our time's gone for today. Don't miss tomorrow's show with Rabbi Jason Sobel. He's going to be sharing a special, special time with us. We have to go. Order your food now before it's too late. 1-888-988-1588. Toll free. Remember that God loves you.
Yeah.
He really does. Bye-bye for today.
Bye-bye. We love you. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today. 1-888-988-1588. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to the Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri 65615. Please make all checks payable to Jim Baker Show. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.